In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last month, scientists gazed into the heavens. A spacecraft briefly touched the surface of an asteroid and collected dust and pebbles, which hopefully will arrive on Earth in 2023. Having gazed into the heavens, the scientists will gaze through microscopes at the dust of heaven when it arrives, as they have done in the past, hoping to discover within this material clues to the mystery of life. However, before science became the final court of meaning, as it is with so many people today, artists were busy gazing into heavens, creating paintings of a different court and of a different day, the day of judgment, when Jesus would return and reveal for all people the meaning of life. Taking a quick glance through paintings of the Last Judgment, we can discover a common theme. The heavens are torn open as Jesus descends on a throne, and the earth is breaking apart as the dead rise from their graves. While the paintings are usually too busy with many human bodies mixed with, together with many angels and demons, one aspect is fairly consistent. If you look closely, if you stare at the face of just one human being, you will find on that face a look of discovery. People look as if they are waking from sleep and only beginning to discover the deeper meaning of the world, of their Lord, and of the life that once surrounded them. Today, we will look closely at the Gospel of Matthew, and in it experience for ourselves some sense of discovery of that last day. In this parable of the last day, Jesus reveals the mysteries of eternal life. In this parable of the last day, Jesus reveals the mysteries of eternal life. In our gospel reading, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the end. And yet his words talk about the beginning. Notice how Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 34, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In contrast, as Jesus speaks to the wicked, he does not say, "Inherit the punishment prepared for you from the foundation of the world." No. Instead, he says in verse 41, "Depart into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." God never prepared hell for his human creatures. No. From the very beginning, God's intentions were always that humanity would live in eternal fellowship and blessedness in him. No one was ever predestined to hell. All were created to live with God and rejoice with him in his creation. Those who go to hell go there by their own choosing, for they have rejected Jesus and God's original design for all people in him. While some might feel that this parable in Matthew 25 is about the end of the world, It does not offer us a picture of the world ending at all. Instead, Jesus offers us a discovery of the world. As God intended, God's original desire was for humanity to live in relationship with Him. And the day when Christ returns will be the day when God's dreams for creation finally and fully come true. People often misunderstand Christianity. They think that it's all about escaping this world in order to live in heaven. For them, Christians stand at a distance from this world, wanting to escape its physical existence so that they can go on to eternal life in heaven. Yet, that's not what we believe or what we confess. Every time we confess the faith, we speak of the resurrected body. We declare our confidence in the life of the world to come. The mission of Jesus Christ was to bring all people into God's eternal kingdom. Although we have turned away from God, rejecting His design and falling into sin in the Garden of Eden, God the Father turned toward us, still holding on to His original design. Out of love, He sent Jesus Christ to bear our sin and be our Savior. Baptized into His death and resurrection, our eternal life with God begins. In Him, there will be a new creation, and we will be raised to live in the world as God originally desired to be. But until that time, we live here as stewards of God's creation. We care for this world as those who have discovered in Jesus what God intended creation to be. We trust in, we live in, we long for God's new creation in Him. As Jesus speaks to His disciples about the end, notice how He opens their eyes to the rule of God in Him. As we listen closely to the reading, we discover the fullness of God in Jesus. Jesus appears first as the Son of Man, that figure from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, who now has finished God's work and is therefore sitting on His throne. Then He appears as a shepherd, with the nations as His flock, now separating the sheep from the goats. Soon, the shepherd becomes a king, who is also the Son of God the Father. His rule extends over all nations and throughout all time. This king, however, is hidden in the suffering of this world, just as Jesus would soon be hidden in the events of His crucifixion and death that comes right in the next chapters of Matthew, chapters 26 and 27. Jesus claims all who follow Him in faith are members of His family. He calls them my brothers in verse 40. And until that last day, He is known among them by His word, when He proclaims to them, "Truly I say to you," He says. While some might feel this parable places Jesus at a distance, descending from heaven at the end of the time, it actually reveals Him as very close to us today. He is the Lord of all nations. God the Father has chosen Him to rule over all things and to bring to fulfillment His desire to save all people. For this reason, He has fulfilled prophecy. He came in our midst to bring about the forgiven and saving rule of God in His life, death, and resurrection. Though ascended into heaven, Jesus continues to speak among us now through His word, claiming as His family all who believe in Him and shepherding them like His flock. Jesus will do that until that day when He returns to divide those who trust in Him for righteousness from those who do not, and to give to the faithful the long-standing desire of God, the gift of eternal life. Jesus has not left us on our own in this world, but rather, He comes to us in His Word, in His sacraments, and continues to rule in our midst, proclaiming to you the forgiveness of sins and this everlasting gift of eternal life in Him. This parable in Matthew 25 ends the five speeches of Jesus in the book of Matthew that we have had so far. But if you listen closely, you will hear how it takes back to Jesus' very first speech, the Sermon on the Mount, on Matthew 5 through 7. There, in the blessings of Jesus, we see the people God has called His own in this world. Though rejected, persecuted, mourning, hungry, and thirsting for righteousness, these people are God's own and receive His eternal blessing. Now, at the end of His ministry, Jesus reveals again a people blessed by My Father. These people are already made righteous in God's sight by faith in Jesus, but they are found again among those suffering in this world. Only this time, they are sharing God's mercy with those who suffer. Their merciful acts of faith come as a shock to them when Jesus reveals these good works. In an even more amazing revelation, Jesus unveils His hidden presence among those My brothers who were hungry, thirsty, strangers, naked, sick, and in prison in this world. When you look at paintings of the Last Judgment, the faces of the people are filled with wonder and awe. Artists have captured their discovery of the majesty of Christ when He returns to rule. Yet Jesus, in this reading, paints an even more astounding picture. For you, who have been made righteous by faith in Jesus, there will be an even more astounding wonder on that day. God will reveal the good that you have done and His presence in your life in ways that exceed your understanding. Like the righteous in the parable, God's people will never know the depth and breadth of the good works they have done during their lifetime. On that last day, however, our Lord will reveal to the faithful His good works of mercy performed through their lives in this world. In addition, He will also reveal that He was present in those hidden moments of ministry, graciously receiving from our hands the mercy we didn't even know we were given. Many old churches and chapels in Europe have beautiful paintings on their walls that date back centuries. A particular one in Italy has a scene on the back wall of Christ's return in judgment. And the scene covers the whole wall with those raised to eternal life on Christ's right and those raised to eternal punishment on Christ's left. At the bottom of the image, underneath a cross, is the doorway by which the worshipers would return to the world. The last image worshipers see as they enter the world is Christ returning in glory. Although we have not such image over our doors as we walk out of this church, we do have the good news of Jesus we heard today. And we have a banner above our doors that says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." In our reading, our Lord offers us an image of the last judgment to shape your life in this world today. As you walk through the doors, you enter God's world with a deeper understanding, a world in which Jesus still rules. With that knowledge, you can see things differently. The creation of this world, your Lord, and even your life of service. Assured of your salvation, you now rejoice in these hidden blessings of God, this vision of life, present and eternal, that are far more glorious than any asteroid dust could ever reveal. And you go into God's world with His blessing until His return. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.